You're listening to Panel Borders, which is the podcast version of Resonance FM's weekly show about the world of comics. I'm Alex Fitch, and this week's show continues our month looking at comics and education, and follows last week's episode about a biography of Bertrand Russell in graphic novel format with one about Johnny Cash. The book, Cash, I See a Darkness, was a huge hit in its native Germany and has just been released in English by the relatively new publisher Self-Made Hero, and covers the hell-raising country singer from his early days to his iconic performance at Folsom Prison and beyond. In an interview recorded at the Institute of Contemporary Arts in London during Paul Gravett's Comica Festival, I'm talking to writer and artist Reinhard Kleist about varying his style from project to project, his love of Americana, and the travails of doing an epic 224-page graphic novel about a country and western singer. First, here's a word from our sponsors.
Resonance FM is London's only non-profit community radio art station, who need your donations to help keep the station and podcasts on air. All the program makers and all the engineers all work for free to bring you shows as diverse as The Bike Show, The Free University of the Airways, Hooting Yard, Speakers Resonance Corner, FM accepts donations in the form of cheques, credit and debit cards, bank transfers, PayPal and cash. Go to www.resonancefm.com for more details. We also accept hobnobs and teabags. Your donation means our continued existence.
I was really surprised when the Johnny Cash book came out. We sold the first edition of 8,000 copies within 2 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah, and then it got a lot of attention throughout the world. And just recently, the Portuguese version came out in Brazil.
Mm. And did you do the English translation, or when it comes to the various international editions, do you just have to hand it over to translators and hope that they get the original intention of your text?
Well, sometimes I have to trust the translator, and sometimes we quite work together, especially for the Brazilian edition. I had a very close contact with the translator because he asked me a lot of questions. Sometimes there are plays of words that a translator has to know, and there are also phrases that I translated from English things Johnny Cash says during a concert where I have a record where his announcements are. And then I had to translate this into German, and then the translator has to translate this back into English. And sometimes there are mistakes. And so I had contact with a translator to tell him, so you have to listen to this record. And then I think the translator did a very good job. Because he also tried to find the tone of Johnny Cash speaking, because he speaks with an American accent from Arkansas.
Sure. You've been working in comics for about a decade now.
Yeah.
What is it about the medium that appeals to you? Because obviously, when it comes to biographies, particularly biographies of this length, most people aren't accustomed to seeing them in graphic novel format.
When I started working with comic books, it was a possibility for me to make something that I really liked and to tell a story, to do both. I started as a painter, and then I came across the works of Dave McKean and Bill Sienkiewicz, and I saw that these people are using a painted artwork to tell a story. And so that was the point where I started first with, on my career. I did two books. They were like this painted style. One of them was a biography about H.P. Lovecraft, and the other one was
Dorian Gray.
Yeah, a mixture of a story by Oscar Wilde, Dorian Gray, with a story by Clive Barker. But now my approach to comic books changed a lot. Now I see my influences more in movies than in other graphic styles. So when I start to think about a story, I always first think about how this could work in a movie, like camera movements or sound or things like this. And then I translate this into the form of comic books.
I get the impression, looking at your biography, that American culture is something that appeals to you as a subject matter. You've done, like you said, adaptations of H.P. Lovecraft. You did a biography of him. You've contributed to a book about Elvis. You've done various works based on Coney Island. What is it about America that inspires your work?
Well, I don't really know. I think it's a lot about American culture that you get in from movies and books. It's not really that I can say I have a certain connection between me and North America, where I lived in New York for 4 months. And that's where I started to work on two books. The one was called America, and the other one was the Secrets of Coney Island. And so it's nothing really where I would say, I'm addicted to North America. It's more by accident that I choose a lot of themes that have to do with America. But I made some stories that have to do with the city where I live, Berlin. Mm-hmm. But I'm still looking for a really German theme to do on a book. Right now I work on another project, which is a biography about Fidel Castro, and that's a Cuban theme.
Okay, again, you're moving south.
I'm moving south, yeah. But I'm still looking for a really good theme that has to do with my country. But yet I didn't come across one.
The Berlin books you've done, they're the ones with vampires in them?
Yeah.
What inspired vampires in Berlin?
Well, that's actually a story that I made with an author. Okay. He's called Tobias Meissner, and he's a very famous horror and fantasy author from Berlin. And we got together on a book fair in Frankfurt, and we said, okay, what is our interest? And I said, vampires. And he said, well, vampires, that's cool. So I will write a story about vampires and Berlin. And so he gave me the script, and it's something like a satire about all the political movements we had in Berlin in the last 100 years. And he uses this metaphor of vampires sucking the blood of the people as a very easy metaphor in this book, because the deal in our story is that the vampires rule the city. It's a vampire government, and they suck the blood of the human citizens.
Excellent.
So this is the beginning of the story, and then we develop something where we make a journey through all these historical events, and also a lot of culture is that was taking a part in this period of time. And so in the end we build a wall through our city, but it's not dividing the east from the west, it's dividing the north from the south.
Okay.
And that's a very funny scene in this book.
So there seem to be two strands in your work then, the horror adaptations and the sort of more biographical sort of slice of life stories that you do. What is it about horror and then sort of biography? Because they seem to be quite disparate.
Well, I think I have a drift towards very dark themes. And so there's a little connection in the biography of Johnny Cash, because it's very dark too. But I really like dark things, because it's not only a possibility for me to have a play with good graphics and I really like dark images. But in biographies, it's a possibility for me to play with the story. I have a theme where I'm writing about, and I have the possibility to build a storyline around this. And that's what fascinates me so much about biographies, because the Johnny Cash book was the first big book where I was the writer. And it worked really well. And I was really surprised after people told me that this is the best book. And so I decided, okay, I don't want to work with an author again. I'm doing it all by myself.
Mm. And why Johnny Cash? Was it just the kind of the edginess of his lifestyle, his flirtations with sort of like the demons of drug and drink, and you know, flirtations with murder, as you depict in the dream sequences?
It was the first idea about the book was not Johnny Cash.
Okay.
The first idea was to do a comic book generally about music and how to make music visible in a comic book. This idea was developed on one of those dinner parties where we had a lot of drinks, and we were like, yeah, you have to do a book about music, yeah. And so when I got home, I was still thinking about this, and then my roommate gave me the biography of Johnny Cash that was written by Franz Dobler. Mm-hmm. He's a famous journalist from Austria. And he said, well, you make book about vampires, but this is some really good stuff. And I was not really convinced. I knew a little bit about Johnny Cash, but I was thinking, well, the story about a country musician is not so interesting.
Okay.
And then I read this book, and I was like really amazed. I was like, this story is just so, so good. And why I am the first? And then I told my publisher, okay, I have a project, and we're doing a book about Johnny Cash. And at first, they were not convinced at all. And it was just that the chief of the editor, he outed himself as a Johnny Cash fan. He said, well, okay, let's do this book. And then everybody was surprised how successful the book came out.
Mm. I have to admit, I don't know anything about the German comic scene. I mean, what sort of graphic novels are generally published in Germany?
Well, it's about the same like here, but we have...
Presumably a lot of American imports.
Yeah, a lot of American imports, and we also have some English books. And when I started my career, there was not very much going on in the comic scene. We had Ralf König, then we had some funny stuff, and we had some people who were trying to do something serious. And yeah, we had a lot of these art comic books. Mm. But there was... not very many people that really try to tell a good story in a realistic style. So that was kind of depressing in the beginning. But right now we have very, very many very good authors and artists. And they all come up with this graphic novel movement that started in Germany like 5 years ago. So we have people like Uli Oesterle or Isabel Kreitz that do big books and really interesting ones. And you find out that we have very good storytellers in Germany as well. And, well, they got discovered by foreign publishers as well. They are published now in France and in Dutch and hopefully in England too.
Okay. And most work, does it come out primarily as graphic novels rather than sort of serialized magazines?
Yeah. We don't have very many magazines. I think that's one lack of the German culture, that, for example, in magazines, you don't have very many illustrations. Mm. And also, you don't have very many magazines where comics are being published. And I think that's more in England or in America or in France. And it's. I think it's one thing. People in Germany, you have to convince them to buy a comic book. Because most of them say, well, what comic book is just funny. Mm. And when you give them a book like Isabel Kreitz's book about this German spy in Tokyo, Richard Sorge, they're like, well, this is a comic book? It's just great. Why didn't I know about this? So the graphic novel movement is a possibility in Germany to tell the people there is something different. Mm. And you can take a book like Persepolis, and this is not Donald Duck.
In terms of your style, as you've developed as a comic book creator, you said that your early work was a sort of a sequential version of your paintings. How long did it take you when you started doing graphic novels to develop an ink style that you felt happy with in terms of telling comic book stories?
That took a really, really long time. Mm. I made quite a long journey through different styles to come to this point where I now can say that I'm quite satisfied, but I don't think that my journey is through now. I'm really satisfied with the style that I used for the Johnny Cash book, but the style in the Fidel Castro book is a little bit different than this. So I always try to change my style into the direction of the story that I'm telling. So there's always a change. And it took a very long time for me to develop a black and white style, and I tried out several things. For example, the book about my time in New York is very sketchy, very arty. And then I did a book that was called Fucked. It was about my experiences in the techno scene in Berlin, and I used a very different style. Then my approach was that it looks a little bit like really bad photocopies from photos, but I think it didn't work. So right now I'm really satisfied with the style that I I found for the Johnny Cash book, and I tried out this style on the book that I did before. It was the Coney Island book. There I tried to develop the style where I want to go.
There's an American comic book creator called Doug Tennable, whose work's quite similar to your Johnny Cash book. I was wondering if you'd come across him, or if not, then what your influences were in creating this style.
Maybe I saw it somewhere, but I'm not sure what's the name of the book.
I'm trying to think. I mean, he was a former animator. He also worked on computer games like Earthworm Jim, and now he does this sort of high contrast comics, which are sort of fantasy comics with a Christian element to them. Mm-hmm. I'll send you a link to his work.
Yeah, be great. Yeah.
But what artists have sort of impressed you or influenced you as a creator?
I cannot think of a special name. Mm. I think it's something that I came up by myself, not really looking at somebody's work and trying to approach what he did. But I'm sure I had some things in my head that I saw, but I cannot think of anything or anyone special. It's something that I just put together in my head, and then I said, okay, this is satisfying.
In the book, because on a few occasions you do a comic book version of the songs themselves, that then allows you to adopt different styles within the narrative, so that I guess the reader can tell when they're entering a fantasy sequence or an illustrated song. Was that quite fun, thinking of how should I approach this song in terms of illustration?
Yeah, that was really big fun. For example, I had this short story of this song called The Ballad of Ira Hayes. Mm-hmm. And I did that in a form of naive Indian paintings that I found in a book about Indian culture. And that was really a lot of fun. And what was even more fun was sometimes I didn't use a different style in the drawings, and I had.
So the audience thinks, is this real or is this not?
Yeah, I had a lot of fun just to confuse the reader, and also there is a scene where reality and the song getting mixed up. Mm. I really like that. Sometimes you have to confuse the reader a little bit so that he's not really aware what's going on. He's like, oh, what is this? And I really like this. It's a reading should be an adventure, and like music is.
In terms of doing the research, how much research did you have to do before you felt you kind of understood how Cash's mind works? Because reading the book, it really does feel like you can hear his voice. Because I don't know much about Johnny Cash either, but reading the book, I feel that I've got to know him, which I guess is the aim of any biography.
Yeah. I did a lot of research, and I read, I think, about five biographies, but I concentrated on just two books. Then I also watched a lot of movies, because I wanted to know how he talks and how he moves. And it's very interesting to see what happens when he enters a room. It's completely different than when I enter a room. There was a really good movie that I saw. It's called The Man, His World and His Music.
Okay.
It's a documentary movie about it's just this team following him on a tour. That's all. And this is a really, really amazing movie, because you get so close to him. Yeah, those were my research, most researched, yeah. And I also talked to one guy. He's the chief of a record company in Germany, and he knew Johnny Cash personally. And he told me a little bit, small stories. Yeah.
And it's quite an epic book, you know. Presumably, you had a work of this length in mind when you started it, because it does feel like you've actually absorbed quite a weighty chunk of his life. Although structurally, it's interesting that you skip a few decades towards the end. Suddenly, he's much older.
Yeah.
I mean, what sort of dictated these sort of choices, the length, the bits of his life you're going to illustrate, and so on?
Well, the decision to skip, well, it's about 10, not 20 or 30 years in the end, was that I felt, well, for the Folsom Prison concert, now everything is said.
Yeah.
But what is missing is this last period. I really, really wanted to have this last period in it. And this is very important in the book, because he makes something like a summary of his life before, like he does on the records, on the American recordings, which are so personal. Yeah, this jump through the years was a decision that I made quite early. and other parts in the book are quite long. For example, I'm telling this Force in Prison concert almost the whole concert.
Yeah.
It's about 30 or 40 pages long. And that is a remain of this first idea, how to make music visible in a comic book. I wanted to show in this sequence what an adventure music can be. This concert was totally wild and totally a really dangerous experience for everyone. Nobody knew what was happening. You had this long-term criminals sitting in the audience, and then you have to perform in front of them. And Johnny Cash, he just didn't do anything to keep to calm them, and instead he was provoking them. It's really, really, really great experience. I have a great book about the concert with a lot of photographies from Jim Marshall, from this famous rock photographer, and I have a lot of inspiration from this book. And then you see how he deals with the audience and how he makes like a tension in the concert. And well, he really has the audience on a string. You say that?
Like a puppeteer.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I wonder if it influenced the scene in the Blues Brothers where they play in Joliet Prison and start a riot.
Yeah, it could be, yeah.
And I suppose thinking about movies, there seems to be certainly an element of film noir in the storytelling. Is that a genre that you're interested in?
Yeah, sure. I watch a lot of movies, and I always look at how they're telling things and how they, well, for example, how they make opening sequences in a movie, and I try to put this in a comic book. And when I write a script, I have not only the dialogues, I have only this, I have descriptions of how the camera moves and we see opening shot or things like this. I work in a form of movie language in my text, and then I translate this into pictures.
And of course, not all cinematic techniques transfer directly to the comic book page, because something that you do that isn't something you see perhaps in any form of film except animation is that when the action and the danger gets faster at times, your style gets a bit more sketchier, which kind of implies some kind of picking up of pace and tension in the artwork, which I think is a really interesting technique.
Yeah. I don't really like the manga stories, but they have a really, really cool way to tell stories. For one action, they use 10 panels. In European comics, they use just one panel. And sometimes I really like this idea, how to see one action from different angles. And I'm sometimes I try to put this in a story and to have like a simple artwork, not like painted or arty things like I did before. The artwork of the Johnny Cash book is quite simple, so that allows me to have more pictures where I can work with and to see the action from different angles and to show a camera movement around, things like this.
Cool. And in doing the project, you said that you didn't know Johnny Cash's work particularly well beforehand. Did you become a fan?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, well, I knew all his American recordings, and I didn't know very much about his old stuff. And I
think that's all I knew, actually.
And I came across all these crazy albums that he did in the 60s, and so I was really amazed what a good storyteller he is with his music. There's one of my favorite songs is it's called The Rock Island Line, where he's telling a very funny story about a train conductor who tries to betray the Duane. I don't know what it's called, where they control what's on the train. You have to pay them.
Okay, the ticket inspector.
Yeah, something like this.
And the conductor.
He's betraying them. He tells the story in a really funny way. He uses the music. So I really like his idea how to use music to tell a story. And also there was the time when he was taking a lot of drugs and he was really, really fucked up. But he did his best albums in this period.
Okay.
you have to say, unfortunately.
You do seem to be tapping into the zeitgeist to a certain extent, that over the past few years there have been comic books based on the work of Tori Amos. I think there's a book based on the work of Dylan coming out. Rock and roll musicians have started writing comics. Gerald Way from My Chemical Romance is doing a comic for Dark Horse. Lightspeed Champion, who's a British musician, has just contributed to a charity anthology. And I wonder if it's because, like you said, there is great storytelling in Johnny Cash's work, that because so many musicians are actually great storytellers as well, it's an untapped way of telling stories that perhaps comics can learn from, and it's taken a few years for the medium to realize that there's a crossover there.
I didn't know so much about this, but I think, well, who can write a good text for a song? He's also a good writer for a story. But the most important is if a person has enough material to really tell a story that's interesting. But yeah, I saw the Bob Dylan book where they make short stories out of his songs, and I mean, he's also a very good storyteller in his songs, so there is enough good material for a comic artist to do a brilliant work of art about this. And I like the idea that two different forms get together and they create something new.
Cool. Thank you very much.
The graphic novel, Johnny Cash, I See a Darkness, is available now in all good bookshops, and also innovatively as an iPhone app that allows you to read the comic book panel by panel on your iPhone screen for the fifth of the price of buying it in dead tree format, and also allows you to listen to relevant songs by Cash as you visit each stage of his life in print by syncing with iTunes downloads. In the spirit of this multimedia synergy, you can also experience a 14-minute edit of my interview with Reinhard Kleist as the soundtrack of a video of the artist sketching images of Johnny Cash at the signing of his book at the ICA, and you'll find that at vimeo.com/7922138, and also as a regular podcast on our blog at www.panelborders.wordpress.com. Thanks for listening.